Hello, and thanks again for tuning in to this installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash business located in Churchill, Tennessee. We're out there on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, and we want to invite you and encourage you to swing by the Wash and Word and come and let us work on your car. We wash everything by hand, and we take great pride and take care in your vehicle. We treat each car like it's our own. And you said, well, I thought this was a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. What are you talking about the car wash for? Well, you see, the car wash is an interesting concept that we kind of were directed by the Spirit into opening. We opened up this car wash so that we can earn money. We, like Paul, believe that that the Word of God should go forth. You know, freely we have been given, and freely we should, freely we have received, and freely we should give. And so we give these verse by verse Bible teachings as a gift back out to the community. We never want to ask for money to keep this ministry alive. We are a self-supported ministry, and we self-support ourselves by the money that we earn here at the Wash and Word. So, that being said, if you agree that the entire counsel of God's Word, that is the fullness of it, of every verse, every chapter, every book, is extremely important, that the fullness of God's Word is really needed in today's society, if you agree with that statement, we ask you to support us, and we ask you to do it in a way that enables us to earn the money through the hard work that we do. So, that being said, we thank you for tuning into this radio station. You can hear all of our sermons at the washandword.com website. Just go to wash, the letter N, word.com, and there you can download and listen to all of our messages for free. We have them archived there. So that's washandword.com. Plus, you can find out all you want about the business. Anyway, let's get back into the... I don't want to waste too much time talking about that. We are currently in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul writing to the Corinthian church that he founded earlier in his missionary journey. But what had happened was a lot of things began to creep. A lot of the world began to creep back into the church. And so Paul is writing a letter of correction. And in this one letter, and even 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses a lot of issues that we even are still dealing with today. And we're on chapter 3, and Paul's talking about the divisions that are within the church. And so what you have to do is understand that when Paul is addressing chapter 3 and the division, he's addressing a problem that is extremely relevant today. You see, people are constantly dividing. It's just a human natural thing to want to cling to a certain type. Usually it's the type that is most aligned with your own personality or your own type. And so he's dealing with the issue of having cliques within the church. He's dealing with the issue of having certain men elevated above others, and it's almost a form of idol worship in a sense. And so he's like, look, guys, we got to talk about this. One is not better than the other. In the body of Christ, we are all equal. And this is the second time in this letter that he's addressing division in the church. So let's go ahead and get started. We left off at chapter 4, so let's pick it up at chapter 5. We'll read a little bit, and then we'll talk. Verse 5, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. That's the day of judgment. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So let's stop right there and talk about that for a minute. Can I just remind you all out there that you may not be ministers or pastors, but I assure you, as a Christian, you are still a minister of God's word. And you do this by your witness and by your testimony. You know, there are a lot of churches out there, they pay their pastors with the expectation that they're going to be doing most of the ministering. Well, I mean, that's what we pay him for, isn't it? Isn't he the one that's supposed to go out and minister to the people and go to the, visit the sick and go to the hospitals and all that kind of stuff? And to a degree, yes, that the man in that position should be doing those sorts of things, but only to fulfill the gift that God has given him. And one man should not be responsible for doing the majority of the work, because all it's going to do is promote laziness, apathy, and an uncaring amongst the body of Christ. Friends, what Paul is telling us here is that we are all equal in the body of Christ. And whenever a new person will walk into the church, the only way that they should be able to recognize who the pastor is by the microphone that they may be wearing around their head. There shouldn't be flashy robes or fancy collars or some exaltation or a name on the sign or a special chair that only he sits in. Listen, a minister or a pastor or a preacher, they're just one like anyone else amongst the body. Every gift is different. Paul says, desire the greater gifts. Well, what is the greater gift? The greater gift is the one that you don't have. No gift is greater than another. You know, we often want to elevate and promote those who preach and teach. And, you know, that must be the greater gift. They're promoting and teaching the word of God. That's not at all what Paul is saying here. And he'll address that later in this book, but he's trying to lay a foundation. This is what he's talking about here. He's saying that he laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And what is being built upon that is very important, because a lot of the works that are being built upon that foundation are going to be burned up on that day of judgment. The book of Revelation says that Jesus' eyes are like fire. And I could just imagine those eyes of fire just glaring over the works that we have done, that we're trying to present to our Lord as a crown of righteous works. And as those eyes penetrate those works, how much of them are going to be left? How much of those works were done in a way that only promotes the furthering of the kingdom? See, you need to understand that we are all to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside the church and outside of the church. But let's consider those works. Because just as Jesus himself said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will make it into heaven, so too, not all of our works as Christians are going to be rewarded. But Lord, you say, didn't I give to the homeless? Didn't I pray for people in need? Didn't I get up and preach your word every Sunday morning to those whom you gave me to lead? And the Lord might reply, yes, yes, you did those things. But you only gave to the poor because you were feeling guilty about something else that you did. You only gave out of your excess to try to balance another area of your life. You were only on that prayer team so you can get into everyone else's business. You only preached a lot of those messages so that you could hear, really enjoyed that sermon, Pastor. And one by one on the day, as Paul says, we will watch those works that we claim were for the Lord be burned up one by one. You know, a lot of times at a campfire, you know, as the night might be winding down, you start burning everything. You start throwing in the paper plates and all the loose scraps that's around, and you just kind of put everything in there, and you know, whatever wood might be around. But then in the morning you wake up and the only thing left in the fire is going to be probably some nails, maybe if you threw some wood in there, probably some cans if that's what you threw in there. What I'm saying is that everything else is going to be ash, and only a few things will survive that fire overnight. Another example may be like the stock market. Now, I know nothing about the stock market, but I assume that if you diversify your funds and you invest in dozens of different stocks, when all the chips fall, what will be left will only be the solid investments that you made. The poor choices, well, those will be considered as loss. Let's look again at what Jesus is going to do with those works. In Revelations 1:14, this is a description of Jesus in his judgment form. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Again, these are the judgment eyes that will judge our motivation and our works. Revelation 2:18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire. And all the way at the end of Revelation 19:12, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Jesus will judge our works, he will judge our hearts, and he will judge our motivations. And you better believe, like that campfire, all of the works will be burned up if they are not done properly with the right motive and according to the word. So we realize, as Christians, we are to minister. We realize that we are to minister with right hearts, right motivation. But even after all that, the results are not up to us. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, one man plants, another waters, but God makes it grow. Your job may be to plant. Your job may be to water. Your job might be to fertilize. But you wouldn't plant precious seed into beach sand, right? And you wouldn't water it with antifreeze, would you? No, we do our part. We do what we can to make it as fertile as possible. We plant the seed in fertile ground by accepting our role as ministers of God's word. And then we water it with the best of water if we can by using proper attitudes and proper motivation as we bring forth the word. And then again, even after all that, it is God who gives the increase. He makes it grow. And so what Paul is doing here is he's channeling away from what we were talking about earlier in this book, and that is of carnal Christianity. So many of us Christians are still living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And the problem with that is you've got too much of the world in you to enjoy Christ and too much of Christ in you to enjoy the world. And it becomes a miserable way to live. We need to be sold out to God. We need to get rid of all of that stuff, make a bold statement, and then follow it up with action that, yes, Lord, I want to give you all of me. And that is how we move into sanctification. That is how we grow in our walk. And so Paul is trying to get us from carnal Christianity, because he's already assuming we're saved because he's writing to the church. But in the church, there are so many worldly Christians. He's saying, enter into that sanctification. And how do we do that? We do that by releasing our gifts into proper service. We don't do it by piling on all the work to one or two or three or four people in the church. Friends, we are one body, one church united together. A fellowship should be able to join another fellowship on any given Sunday, and everyone should be working cohesively and jointly. Unfortunately, the carnality among the Christians is always getting in the way. Let us release the Spirit, let us serve with proper motive, and let us watch God make the body grow. Well, that's about it for our time here on this service. Join us again tomorrow on this radio station, Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m., WMCH, 1260 a.m. You can also go to the Wash and Word here in the parking lot. You can tune to 107.1 FM. And we play all these sermons on a loop throughout the day. You can just come in, and just as long as you're in a parking lot, anywhere near Pals or the library, tune to 107.1 and hear them. All right, have a blessed day. See you.